Okay, we're starting here on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, eight lines down at the end of the line, Mei Tevei. Just before we begin, just a quick review of what we saw yesterday. We basically had two sources for connecting Avodah Zarah to certain types of Tumah. The one source brought by the Chachamim was Shaketz Tishaktzenu, which compared it to Tumat HaSheretz, which involves Tumat Maga. And what we had, on the other hand, Tizreim Kamo Dava, which was the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva brought that compares it to a nida. A nida includes or subsumed under tumat nida is tumat maga, tumat masa, and tumat even misma. Gemara wanted to understand how we deal with those psukim in the context of the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim. We had two opinions about how to deal with that. We had Rabba and Rabbi Elazar. Rabba says, Rabbi Akiva believes that Avodah Zarah is 100% like a nida. Everything is like a nida, that means it has tumat even misma, whole kid and kabudo, like nida. What does he do with the pasuk by sheretz? That he uses for mishamshim. That's for things that service the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, the Chachamim believed in a middle position, that balance between two psukim. Sheretz is maga, nida is even misma. What they really believe is something in the middle called nevela. Tumat nevela, which includes tumat maga and masa, but nothing more than that. Why didn't it use nevela? That would have been the easiest way to describe what they are calling the tumah of Avodah Zarah. So there, the Chachamim said, it compared it to a nida to teach us there's ena tumah le'evarim, that in component parts, the tumah does not stay. And it compared it to sheretz to tell us that there's no even misma. Don't compare it totally to the tumah of a nida. That was Rabba's position. Rabbi Elazar's position is basically a step down, which is Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Elazar, is equivalent to the Chachamim of Rabba, which means that according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar's position, Rabbi Akiva believes that the tumah is like tumata nevela, which means it has maga masa, not even misma. And it compared to a nida for in aleivarim, that it doesn't have tumat aleivarim. It's compared to a sheretz. Here there's a machlok between the Rashbam, who thinks it's to tell you no even misma, or according to others, like the Girsa of Rashi, seems to be talking about that at mishamshim still have tumak and tumat sheretz. And chachamim, according to Rabbi Elazar, are completely like tumat sheretz. That Avodah Zarah is like tumat sheretz, it's only tumat maga. Why mention nida at all? Nida is to teach you that it doesn't have tumah le'evarim again. Those are the two opinions we saw yesterday. Rabba and Rabbi Elazar trying to explain the machloka between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. That's important because Gemara is now going to pose questions against their opinions, which is Meitevei. Avodah Zarah kisheretz. Avodah Zarah has a din like kisheretz. Umishamsheha kisheretz. And its items that are used in service are also like tumat sheretz. Rabbi Akiva omer Avodah Zarah kenida. Umishamsheha kisheretz. And the items used in its service are like a sheretz. Bishlamo the Rabbi Elazar necha. That works well according to Rabbi Elazar. Works well according to Rabbi Elazar because Rabbi Elazar is the one who believes that the Chachamim think Avodah Zarah is like Tumata sheretz. Now, this is really no different than the Braita that we quoted before, except over here it draws an equivalence between Avodah Zarah and Mishamsheha. Avodah Zarah, and those items used in the service of Avodah Zarah, it says they're both like Tumat HaSheretz. Over there, that seems to mean really like Tumat HaSheretz, not somewhat like Tumat HaSheretz, really like Tumat HaSheretz. And Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that the Chachamim believe Avodah Zarah has Tumah like Tumat HaSheretz. Therefore, the Gemara says that works well according to Rabbi Elazar. Although the Rabba, Kasha, according to Rabba, even the Chachamim think that Avodah Zarah has Tumah like a nevela. It has tumah that's higher than a sheretz. It has tumat maga, tumat masa. Doesn't have even misma, but it still has higher tumah than a sheretz. So amar lecha Rabba, mi alima mi matnitan diktani. Is it any better than the Mishnah we quoted from Avodah Zarah before that said eitzav avanav afarav metamim kisheretz? That was exactly what I mentioned before. Is that that's the same lashon used in the previous time we quoted this? Vukimna, and I set that up. My kisheretz. So when it means like sheretz, it doesn't mean literally like sheretz. It's telling you sheretz is an offset to nida. Don't think it's full-fledged nida. It's only somewhat like a nida. It really has tumah like a nevela. And sheretz is just a mitigating factor to the tumat nida to tell you that don't think that you include tumat even misma. Hachanami, I'll say the same thing. explain the breita that you just quoted. That's what it means that the Chachamim say that Avodah Zarah has Tumah, Ki Tumah Ta Sheretz. Now we're going to quote a breita, which is extremely cryptic, and the Gemara is going to say, well, this sounds like Rav Elazar, and then Rav is going to point out that the breita is very difficult to read, no matter what. And then we're going to come up with two constructs for this breita. Meitave, Nachri v'Nachrit, a non-Jew, whether male or female, Avodah Zarah u'misham sheha, Avodah Zarah and anything used in its service, hen v'lo hesetan, them and not their heset. Now heset in the Mishnah has a very, very particular meaning, and over here, the Gemara is going to start out without that meaning. It's not going to be the typical meaning. The Gemara is just assuming it means tumat masa here, means carrying of the tamei item. That's what tumat masa is. So it says hein that they are tmeim, but they're not, don't have tumat masa. Rabbi Kiva omer hein veheseitan that they're both tamei. They are tamei and heseitan. They have tumat masa. So Gemara again says bishlam all the Rabbi Lazar neicha. According to Rabbi Lazar, that makes a lot of sense. Because Rabbi Lazar says the machloka between the Chachamim and Rabbi Kiva is exactly on this point, whether Avodah Zarah has Tumat Masa or not. According to the Chachamim, Avodah Zarah has no Tumat Masa. It's like a Sheretz. It only has Tumat Maga. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva believes that it's really like in the Veila, and has Tumat Maga and Masa. So this works out well. It's exactly like the machloka that Rabbi Lazar suggested. El Rabba Kasha. According to Rabbi, who thinks that Rabbi Kiva thinks not only is it Tumat Masa, there's Tumat Evin Misma, and even the Chachamim at least agree that there is Tumat Masa, this doesn't work so well in the Braita. So Amar Lecha Rabbo Ulitimich. And here comes Rabbi and says and deconstructs the Braita and says the whole Braita doesn't make sense. Braita says, Nachri v'Nachrit Nami. When it comes to a non-Jew, Hein v'lo Hesetan, does that really make sense to say them? And not the Tumat Masa, Vahatanya. We have a Braita. Dabero, b'nei Yisrael, mitamim b'ziva, v'ein nachrim mitamim b'ziva. The Parsha of Zav, Zava, Nida, is given to b'nei Yisrael exclusively. It only applies to Jews. It does not apply to non-Jews. Yet, aval gazru alehem, shiu kezavim l'chol divrehem. Nevertheless, the Chachmim were gozer on the nachrim that they have a din like zavim, like a Zav and a Zava, completely. That we saw earlier in the Masechta, in the beginning of the Masechet Shabbat, back in Masechet Nidah, that the Chachamim were gozer, ala nachrim, that they have a din of Zav and Zava. Well, if that's the case, if they have a full-fledged din like Zav and Zava, they should have not only Hain, but Hesetan. They should have Tumat Masa. It's a given that that should be a part of their Tumah. So how could you suggest the Breita is even correct to start with, if it says about a Nachri and a Nachrit, Hain, velo hesetan. That's just not true. If there is zav and a zava, it's hein v'hesetan. So it's clear that the breita is incorrect. The wording in the breita is incorrect. And now we're going to have to amend the breita. Once we amend the breita, then it's a free-for-all. So now, ela rabba mitaritz litamei? That rabba is going to explain it his way, and Rabbi Lazar will explain it his way, which is rabba mitaritz litamei. Nachri v'nachrit. Hein v'hesetan. When it comes to a non-Jew, they're full-fledged Zav and Zava. And a Nida, what's a full-fledged Zav Zava? That means you have Tumah Hein, Heseitan, Tumat Masa, and even Tumat Evin Misma. Avodah Zarah, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, Hiv Heseita, there it's it, and Tumat Masa, Avalo Evin Misma, Shela. That it doesn't have Tumat Evin Misma, because this is the Chachamim's position. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah, he, v'heseta, v'evin misma shela. Rabbi Akiva says that Avodah Zarah is under the same category as Nachri and Nachrit. That they both have Tumat, Maga, and Masa, and evin misma. So now that's how Rabba solves the problem of the Braita. He rereads the Braita to say that Nachri v'Nachrit is hein v'hesetan. Then he moves over Avodah Zarah is hen v'hesetan, but not evin misma. And then Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says, no, that evin misma is included, and therefore everything's the same. Nachri, nachrit, avodah zarah, all hen v'hesetan, v'evin misma shalem. Rabbi Lazar mitaretz l'tamei, and Rabbi Lazar will answer the bright, or explain the bright in his own way. Nachri v'nachrit, hen v'hesetan, v'evin misma shalem. He'll agree by the nachri and nachrit, they're a zav and a zava, they're full-fledged Zav Zava, so they have all tumot. They have the tumat, masa, tubava, even misma. Avodah Zarah is he, velo haseta. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it has tumah, but no tumat masa. Forget about even misma, it doesn't even have tumat masa, because this is the position of the chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Avodah Zarah, he, veheseta. Avodah Zarah has tumah of masa. He agrees it doesn't have tumat even misma, but at least it has tumat masa. So they both reread the Baraita in order to fulfill their position or to serve their needs in the way that they have their opinions about the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. But none of the Baraitot are clear, or the Mishnayot are none of them have been clear. So we've only reinterpreted the Baraitot or the Mishnayot. If we have an explicit Baraita that undermines the reinterpretation either of the previous Baraitot or of the Mishnah, then it would cause a problem for the Amoraim. Right now, we've allowed the Amoraim worm to work because the Braithot have been cryptic, or the Mishnayot have been cryptic. Everything's been cryptic. But if we had an explicit statement that disagreed with them, then we'd have to deal with it. Now, Matikfla Ravashi. Ravashi asked a very, very simple question. You did a beautiful job explaining all this, except you skipped one word in that Braitha, and it is, my hain. What does the word hain mean in the Braitha? Hain, and then you said, hesaitan, lo hesaitan. What's the meaning of the word hain? If you say it means tumat maga, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Because if it's tamei tumat masa, then automatically it's tamei tumat maga. Tumat masa is built on top of tumat maga. To say hein vehesaitan doesn't really make a lot of sense. So the word hein, in the way that we've interpreted the Braita until now, has no meaning. We've just kind of glossed over the word hein and just said, oh yeah, they're tamei. But it really has, we've given it or assigned it no meaning. And therefore Rav Ashi says, I have to reread the Braita to give meaning to the word hein. El Amar Rav Ashi, Hochi Kamar. This is the meaning of this Braita. And this is how you have to assign meaning to the Braita. Which is that the word hein and hesetan now take on the traditional meaning. Heset, as opposed to what we've said until now, we've said that heset meant that you carried that item that was tameh. That is not the traditional term heset that's used throughout the Mishnayot. Traditional use of their term heset is that the tameh object carries something else. It moves something else or carries something else. That will be the meaning of the word heset. The meaning of the word hein will be the meaning masa, like we have said until now. So we have two ways to move objects. Objects can be moved because you are moving the tameh object. That's called masa. That's when you move the object that is tameh. The other side is the tameh object can move you. That's called heset. So for instance, let's take a zav. You can move the zav, and that'll be masa. You're carrying the zav. That's called masa. On the other hand, the zav could be carrying you. We wouldn't call that tumat masa. You're not carrying the zav, but the zav is moving you. That's called tumat heset. So what Rav Ashi does basically, it says, that's what the meaning of the hein and hesetan means. Hein means tumat masa, where the object, the tumah, is being carried by someone else. And then hesetan means where the tumah is carrying the other object, or carrying you. So that's the meaning here. And now, El Amar Rav Ashi. Hachi kamar. This is how to read the Braita. Nachri v'nachrit. By Nachri and Nachrit, they are, remember, full-fledged Zav and Zava. Then, Ben Hein She'esitu et Echerim. Ben Echerim She'esitu Otan Tmeim. Over there, it's irrespective of which way it's done, there is Tuma. Because that's the case by a Zav and a Zava. So by a Zav and a Zava, Tumat Masa and Tumat Heset are problematic. So whether you carry the Zav or the Zav carries you, it's problematic. So that goes in either direction. Avodah Zarah. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, Shesita Achirim Tehorim. On the other hand, Avodah Zarah that carries someone else, over there, Tehor. Achirim Shesitu Ota. On the other hand, if you carry the Avodah Zarah, Tmeim. What it's saying, in other words, is, by Avodah Zarah, there's Tumat Masa, but there is no Tumat Heset, which is the position of the Chachamim, because the Chachamim believe and Even Misma is a derivative of Tumat Heset. Remember before, in the position of Rabbah, the Chachamim believe that there is Tumat Masa, but But there is no tumat evin misma, or in other words, there's tumat masa, but no tumat heset. That's what's being expressed here. Misham she'ah, when it comes to those items that service the avodah zarah, ben hen she'esitu et echirim, ben echirim she'esitu otam teorim. The mishamshim have tumat sheretz, which is tumat maga. They don't have tumat masa, nor do they have tumat heset. They're missing both of them. Rabbi Akiva comes along and argues and says, Nachri v'nachrit v'avodah zarah. It's not only a Nachri and a Nachrit that are in that category, but also avodah zarah is in that category. Ben hein she'esitu et echirim, ben echirim she'esitu otan tmeim. In that case, both tumat masa and tumat heset are tmeim. Nachri, nachrit, easy, because there's av and zavah. Avodah zarah, because it's like a nida. And remember, Rabbi Akiva says, according to Rabbah, that when it comes to tumat hanida, that includes evin misma. If you include evin misma, you certainly include tumat heset. So that's what the position of Rabbi Akiva is. The position of Rabbi Akiva is, you have tumat masa and tumat heset when it comes to both the nachri nachrit and the avodah zarah. Misham she'ah, he's not going to disagree with the chachamim. Remember, Rabbi Akiva's position by the misham she'ah is, that's what the pasuk of sheretz is for. The pasuk of sheretz is to teach you, ben hein she'esitu echirim, ben echirim she'esitu otan tehorim, because there's only tumat maga by the misham she'ah, by those things that service the avodah zarah. That's the same as the chachamim. There are those that don't want to have it in the girsa because of that, because he doesn't really disagree with the chachamim on this part. So now, what we have here, according to Rashi, is a way to read the braita that incorporates all the words, gives meaning to all the words in the braita. Now, Ravashi, the way the Gemara explained it, only explained Rabba's position. Rashi explains Rabbi Lazar's position and says you could simply read it this way for Rabbi Lazar. In the Chachamim's position, it would read like this. Nachri v'nachrit, hein v'heseitan. That everybody agrees with, because that's a zav and a zavah. That means tumat masa and heseit apply. Then, when it comes to the Chachamim's position in Rabbi Lazar, they would read like this. Avodah zara u'misham she'ha. Avodah zara u'misham she'ha. Lo hein, v'lo heseitan. They will have neither tuma. They will only be tumat maga. Because the chachamim, according to Rabbi Lazar, believe there's only tumat sheretz, only tumat maga. And they have the same din as the mishamshim then. Rabbi Akiva will come along and say, no, there are actually three parts to this braita. Nachri, nachrit is hein, v'heseitan. Avodah zara is hein, v'lo heseitan. Because he believes there is tumat masa, but not tumat evin mismar, not tumat heseit. And then the Misham Sheha will be Lohain Velo Heseitan. So Rashi, from the statements of Ravashi in Rabbah, extrapolates that and explains the same thing within the position of Rabbi Elazar, that you can have the same thing there. Again, I laid out a chart for you that you can see it's laid out evenly, and you can see how it matches up with the previous positions of Rabbah and Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara says, okay, Avodah Zarah, I understand by avodah zarah how you can have others carrying avodah zarah. A human being comes along and picks up the avodah zarah. That's easy to have. That's tumat masa. On the other hand, elahi sheisita techerim hecha mishkachatla. Problem is, how do you have avodah zarah carrying something else? By zav and zavah, that's not a problem because the tumah involves a human being. So a zav can be carried by someone, or the zav could carry someone else. It's easy to explain how you have tumat masa and heset by azav. But if you extrapolate that, like according to Rabbi Akiva, to avodah zarah, then how do you do that? It works in one direction, which is a human moves the avodah zarah, but how does the avodah zarah move the human being? How do you have tumat heset? Amar Rami braid Rav Yeva kitznan, like a Mishnah. Problem with this is this Mishnah doesn't exist. Rashi has it as a girsan a Mishnah in Zavim. There is no such Mishnah in Zavim, and Tosafot already notes that. So you either could have the girsa here, could be the Tanya, that is a Braita. That's a possibility that you could have and change the girsa to the Tanya, although Rashi thinks it is a Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnayot in Zavim, it actually doesn't say anything of the sort, almost says the exact opposite of what's found here. Again, I brought you those Mishnayot. But Tosafot says something very interesting in the end. He says, oh, we don't have that in our Mishnayot, but Rashi makes a lot more sense. And it probably should be what's in the Mishnayot. So anyway, that's the statement I'll just make to clarify what it says. But it says here, we have Hazav Bikof Me'oznayim Bochlim Umashkim Bikaf Shnia. We have a scale. The Zav is sitting in one part of the scale. And the food and the drinks are on the other half of the scale. Kara hazav. If the zav weighs in and is heavier. So that means that the Zav pushes down, the Uchlim u'Mashkim go up. In that case, we have the equivalent of Tumat Heset. Tumat Heset, which is that the Zav is moving the food and drink. Because he's down and he pulls the food and drink up. So that's the equivalent of Tumat Heset and Tzmeim. Uchlim u'Mashkim are Mekabel Tumat from Tumat Heset. Because the Zav moves them. On the other hand, it says, if karuhain, if the food and liquids weigh in heavier, then they are carrying the zav, which is tumat masa. When you carry the tuma, that's called tumat masa, over there, tehorim. They're tehorim because we're talking about a zav. A zav, in terms of tumat heset, can pass on tuma to any type of item. That can be, whether it's mishkav, moshav, uchlim, mashkim, anything he moves will make it tameh. By tumat masa, Rashi points this out, it only applies to, really, a human being. Tumat masa, at least the way that it's phrased in the Torah, is that a human being moves the tuma. So therefore, over here, what's moving the zav? Uchlim u'mashkim. Uchlim u'mashkim that move the zav are not going to be mikabel tuma. But the Gemara was marviach, what the Gemara gained out of this is that we have a way to have inanimate objects generate tumat heset and tumat masa, which is that you just use something like a scale, and a scale where you can have movement without being a human being, without being an animate object, you can still have movement. So now I've solved my problem in terms of avodah zarah. You asked me before, how do I have tumat heset? Ayyudei Avodah Zarah, I'll simply say to you, the Avodah Zarah weighed in heavier, it lifted up the human being, the Uchlim Mashkim, whatever it is that it's lifting up, and now you have Tumat Heset, Ayyudei, the Avodah Zarah. So I have a way to come up with an inanimate object generating Tumat Heset. That's what we gain out of this Mishnah over here. Correct. That's right. Tumat Masa is exactly that. Tumat Masa does not need Tumat Maga, because otherwise why would you need Tumat Masa? Then automatically Tumat Maga would cause the same Tuma. The whole point of Tumat Masa is that even if you're not in direct contact with it, if you're carrying it, you generate Tuma equal to actually even greater than Tumat Maga. So if someone is carrying a load on their shoulder, and the load is wrapped in something else, or inside of a box, despite the fact that they're not in direct contact with the object, there's still tumat masa. That's why, because tumat maga won't apply there. But tumat masa does apply there. There is such a principle which is much deeper into tuma in general, which is Rabbi Akiva believes that you can only have tumat masa if tumat maga is possible. That means if something's completely enwrapped and you cannot access the item on the inside, there, if there's no possibility of tumat maga, then you can't have tumat masa. The sheet of Rabbi Akiva and Tuma, Tumat Maga is a stepping stone to Tumat Masa. But you do not have to be in direct contact to have Tumat Masa. Otherwise, then it would just be Tumat Maga. That's the classic case of Tumat Heset and Tumat Masa, exactly. When you have a long stick and you move the Tuma object, or the Tuma object moves you, that's a classic case of Heset and Masa. Alright, so anyway, what we have here, according to Rashi, laid out is Tumat Heset ayyudei azav through the scale, which is tamei, because tumat heset applies to objects besides just human beings. Whereas on the other way around, tumat masa, as Rashi says, lo dechid masa zav v'adam ktif, it's only written by human beings. Human beings can carry the zav. Any other object that carries the zav is not tamei. The problem is the Mishnayot in Zavin directly contradict that. Their Mishnayot say directly that there's tumat heset in both directions. There's Tumat Masa, but nevertheless, it fits well now, and as Tosafot what says, it reads nicely. So we're going to leave it in because it gets us our objective, which is that we have a way to come up with Tumat Heset for Avodah Zarah now. Now, Kaman Azla Hadatanya. According to whom does this Braita follow? Kol HaTmeyot HaMesitot Tehorot. Anything Tamei that moves in a Torah object is Tohorot. Anything in Mesitot is Tohorot. Chutz Mesitot Shel Zav. The outlier in that is the Zav. The Zav that moves objects makes them Tameh. On the other hand, any other Tuma that moves the object does not make them Tameh. So in our case of the scale, where the Zav weighs down and picks up the food and the liquids, they become Tameh. Any other tuma that would be in place of the zav there would not work. That would not make the objects tame. So now, according to whom is that braita? So the Gemara says, Shalom matzina lo chaver b'chol ha-Torah kula. Zav is a unique type of tuma that there's nothing like it in the whole Torah. So lema delok Rabbi Akiva. Let's say that's not like Rabbi Akiva, at least according to Rabbah, because there Rabbi Akiva said that tumat avodah zarah is equivalent to tumat anida, tumat azav. It should be identical to that. And if you say the only thing that has this tuma zav, what about avodah zarah? It has the same tuma. Di Rabbi Akiva, ikanami avodah zarah. Gemara says afilu teimer Rabbi Akiva. You can even say Rabbi Akiva tana zav v'chol d'dami lei. Avodah zarah is not really an independent category. It's a subcategory of zav, because what we're saying is avodah zarah attains the same tuma as a zav. It's like a nida. So it's not saying that there's a separate tuma called avodah zarah. It's just saying avodah zarah has the tuma of a nida. Zav is the paradigm or the tuma that we're talking about, and avodah zarah is subsumed under that category. It's the av of that tuma. Vayir avchama v'guria. So this is the question that we brought in yesterday's daf. Avodah zarah yishna leivarim? Does avodah zarah have component parts or not? And we said yesterday, according to Rabbi Lazar, the question's not relevant. It's only relevant according to Rabbi Akiva in the Shita of Rabbah. Because according to everyone else, it doesn't have relevance in terms of Evarim. So, Heicha dehejot yachol lachakzira. If a layperson could put it back together, lo tibayilach. There is no question there. The command de mechavartami. It's the equivalent of being together still. Because if any lay person can put it back together, it's really not a part. Can't be put back together by a lay person. My. Since a lay person can't put it back together, it's as if their avodah zarah is broken into pieces. Odilma. Halo mixera. It's not missing anything. And you could be put back together, so maybe it should retain its tuma. Ve'ika de'bayla lahachkisa. Some phrase the question in this manner. Heicha de'en hejiot yachol lahachzira. In a case where hejiot, the layperson cannot put it back together, lo tibayilach. Over there is no question. Commandment avradami. That is clearly broken. Ki tibayilach, the question is, ke'echa de'hejiot yachol lahachzira. When hejiot can put it back together, my, given the ejod yacholak zira, since the ejod can put it back together, kiman de mechabra dami, it's as if it's joint and it's together as one piece. Hodilma, hashtami, kishalfa, visharia. Right now it's in pieces and it's in broken up. So that should not have tuma teiku. We leave this as an unresolved issue. Now, as Rashi and Tosafot point out over here, the question that we're talking about here is simply tuma. What we're not talking about here is the iser d'oraita of avodah zarah. The iser d'oraita of avodah zarah is something that stays with the avodah zarah. There's an iser hana, even maybe if it's broken into component parts. The question here is about tuma and tumat anida that is assigned to it. It's obvious if there was no iser d'oraita of avodah zarah, then certainly there'd be no tuma that we're talking about here. What's not true is, just because there's no tuma doesn't mean there's no iser d'oraita of avodah zarah. The iser d'oraita of avodah zarah might be more strict than this iser tuma that is a din d'rabbanan that is imposed on top of it. So what the Gemara simply discussed over here was the issue of tuma without regard to the iser of avodah zarah. The assumption here is that the iser of avodah zarah could still be in place, even when it's broken up and can be put back together by a layperson. It might be that the iser of avodah zarah still exists. Just the question is, tuma exists, because you compared it to a nida, and we know that a nida in component parts doesn't have tuma. So the question is, how far do we take this connection to nida? Do we say that the component parts do not have tuma, even though the iser d'oraita of avodah zarah still exists? Or do we say, no, since it can be put back together easily, it still has the din of tuma, and it's not considered to be beifarim? Okay, now, boy, rav achodvai barami, avodah zarah pchuta migzayit mahu. If avodah zarah is less than a kezayit, what is its din? So gamat kifla Rav Yosef lamai. Oh, so that's exactly what Rav Yosef asks your question, and he says, what's going on here? Ilei malinyan isura. If you're talking about the isra avodah zarah, lo yehei elezvuv balakron. Let it be like the avodah zarah of the fly of balakron, which was Avodah Zarah that was shaped like a fly. D'tanyo, we have a Braita. Braita now quotes from Shoftim. The story in Shoftim is after Gidon saves the people, they leave Avodah Zarah, they worship Hashem, but after Gidon dies, they go back to worshiping the Avodah Zarah. It says there, V'yasimu lahem, with a mem, Baal Brit the Elohim, that they made a covenant to the Elohim. Over there, when they're talking about Baal Brit, they're talking to the Baal itself. Elohim over here is Avodah Zarah. They became partners with Avodah Zarah. The Braita is darshaning Baal Brit as being something very close, something close to the heart. Baal Brit, something that they can embrace. Zezvu Baal Akron, that must be the fly of Baal Akron. Mamej, kol echad ve'echad asad dmut yirato. Each one of them made their Avodah Zarah, an image of their Avodah Zarah, umiichla b'toch kiso, keeps in his pocket. When he remembers it, takes it out of his pocket, mechabko b'nashko, hugs it, kisses it, meaning that it was accessible to them all the time. Something that was a very small object. What was a small object? As Tosfos points out, you could have just quoted from the pasuk in Malachim Bet that talks about Zvul Baal Akron, the Avodah Zarah of Baal Akron. Why didn't the Gemara just quote that pasuk directly and you wouldn't have known it? Because there, we don't know what the size of the fly was. That could have been a very big fly that they kept as the Avodah Zarah. But here, because the pasuk says that they were able to carry it around and hug it, so we knew that the size had to be small. What's a small type of Avodah Zarah that we know about? So then they quote Zvuv Baal Akron, this fly that can be carried around. So that's what we're talking about. If you're talking about that, and as your question, as you posed, David, is that it doesn't matter what the size is. If it's a full Avodah Zarah, it's irrelevant of size. Even less than a kazayit is still Isser Avodah Zarah. So that can't be what we're talking about. Elo l'inyan Tumah. Can't be about the Isser Avodah Zarah, but maybe it's about the Tumah. My. Kevin did kash the sheretz. Since we said Avodah Zarah is compared to a sheretz, ma sheretz beka adasho. Sheretz has Tumah. A chumrah in sheretz is that it has Tumah even as the size of a lentil. So if you compare Avodah Zarah to a sheretz, maybe it should have Tumah the size of a lentil. Avodah Zarah namike adasho. Odilma, ha'id kash the mate. Avodah Zarah is also compared to a mate, to a corpse. Ma mate b'kazayit, Avodah Zarah b'kazayit. How do we determine the shi'ur in tumat Avodah Zarah? Again, this has nothing to do with Isser Avodah Zarah, tumat Avodah Zarah. Is it governed by sheretz, which would be a kadasha, or is it governed by mate, which would be a kazayit? Am rav avi avitei merabu bar ula, tashma tatanya of a breita. Avodah Zarah p'chuta m'kazayit, imba tumat kol ikar. But Zarah, less than a gezayit, doesn't have tumah. Shinemar, because they bring the pasuk that describes Imlachim that by Yoshiyahu, who leads this major tshuva movement, and they wipe out and eliminate all the Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim. I mean, this is years and years of Avodah Zarah. And then he says over here that they burnt, they take this large Asherah out of the Mikdash, he burns it, crushes it up, and then it says, Vayashlechet Afara Al, it's not El, Al Kever Bnei Ha'am. Sprinkle it on the graves of the common people, probably as a type of tahara for them, you know, meaning that they were the ones who worshipped this Asherah. He sprinkles it on top of their kvarot. So there's a comparison here to kever and the Avodah Zarah. Mamet b'kazayit, av Avodah Zarah b'kazayit. So there's this parallel between the tumat hamet and tumat Avodah Zarah. And what is that for? To teach you the size of tumat, and that is kazayit. Sometimes the Gemara does that, to read what it, in a sense, what the interpretation of the pasuk is. Sometimes they do that. But a lot of times the mistakes are not made by the Gemara, but by the editors that afterwards put it in. They were quoting by heart, they mixed it up. You can see here an ayin and aleph got mixed up. That's right, it's the printers that did it. Or sometimes it's a Korean ktiv that gets mixed up. It's not always clear why the mistake spelling. But if you look up the psukim, you know, then you can see that they're different. On a rare occasion, you have it that the Gemara has a different version of the pasuk than we have, and that's a little more difficult. Other places, Tosafot notes and Rashi notes that the Gemara seems to have a different version of the Tanakh than we have, or different letters here, or different words here. And that becomes much more problematic, but those are much rarer occasions when that happens. Then the Rabbanon, the Mayochata, itkish the Sheretz. So now we have over here that there are three types of tumah that we compare the Avodah Zarah to. Sheretz, mate, and nida. So let's think of the Chachamim's position. According to the Chachamim, what do they do? They say, why do we compare Avodah Zarah to a sheretz? Delo metame b'masa. Teach you that there's no tumat masa by Avodah Zarah. Linida. Why do we prepare Avodah Zarah to a Nida? Deina Leivarim. To teach you that in component parts, it doesn't have Tuma. Lemait. Why do we compare it to mate? Dolomitamei Bika Adasha. To tell you that it have Tuma Adasha, only Tuma ke Zayit. What do they do, basically? They basically did everything in the Kula. They said, we compared it to each Tuma to tell you what it doesn't have. Tuma says, Eima L'chumra. So why did you go to Kula? Do it to Chumra. Do this. The Mai Hilchot Akshara, one of the Sheretz. Why is it compared to a Sheretz? The Tumuei Bekadasha. To tell you that it has Tuma at the size of an Adasha. L'nida. Why is it compared to a Nida? The Tumuei Be'evin Misma. To tell you it has full-fledged Tuma all the way across the board to Evin Misma. Akshara, one of the mate. The Tumuei Be'oel. So not only does it have tumat and nidah, but also has tumat oil that is unique to a mate. So the Gemara answers, tumat avodah zarah, terabonon hi. Tumat avodah zarah is not a din doraito, it's an asmachto balma. We connect it to the psukim, but it's not a din min ha-torah, it's all a din derabanan. Min ha-torah, there's an isur of avodah zarah, there's an isur hana'ah of avodah zarah. There's a requirement to eliminate avodah zarah, but there's no tumat with avodah zarah. That's all an imposition of the chachamim. The kula, the chumra. Now I have an option to go the kula and the chumra. The kula makshinan, the chumra lo makshinan. When it comes to a din derabonan, we go the kula, not the chumra.
It's so interesting how the whole idea of
Tarsh Baal Peh, but you have to differentiate sometimes in Tarsh Baal Peh, which is that in Tarsh Baal Peh, is it a real limud, and therefore it's Tarsh Baal Peh d'oraita? Or here, where it's a Tarsh Baal Peh, it was an asmachta derabanan. It doesn't mean that it's a very late introduction. It could be an early introduction, that based on the fact that they saw that adding on tumat to avodah zarah prevented people from coming in contact with it. That the isur anah may not have been enough. If you have an esan and isur tumah, for whatever reason, the chumra of tumah tara to them was more important than many other mitzvot sometimes. And so they would, if you said it was tamei, they would separate themselves from it. If you said it was Tahor, even though there was Nisra Anah, they might come engage in it. So that's why that developed. Correct, correct. Oh, it was definitely about a Gader, but it was clear that that Tuma had a severe impact, because Nisra Anah is just between you and the engagement with the item. Tuma all of a sudden affects other items. That means that you become Tamei, then you can't eat this, and you can't eat that, and your other items in your house, it has a broader impact. Right, so there, if we want you to distance an object, we're going to tell you it's Tamei, because we want you out, completely out of your purview. Right now, we come to the second Mishnah in the Perek. Remember again that we're not going to have anything to do with the Shabbat again. We're following the paradigm of the Mishnayot that we've seen until now. Minayin l'sfina shi tohora. How do I know that a boat is tohor? Shenemar derech onya belev yam. The way of the boat is in the heart of the ocean. So, pshita. Of course, the boat is out on the ocean. Where else would the boat be? Hakamash Malan Kiyam. What is the pasuk telling you? It's telling you that the boat has the same din as the yam. My yam tahor, just like the yam is tahor, it functions like a mikveh. Afsfina tehora. So too, the boat is tehora. Satanya Chananya Omer Numeda Misak. Let us learn this out from Sak. Why do you have to learn it from this connection to the Yam? Learn it out from its comparison to a Sak. Masak mitaltel malei v'reikan. Just like a Sak can be carried both full and empty, so too, afko mitaltel malei v'reikan. Also, anything can be carried full and empty, that has Tuma. Lafuke, Sfina, teni mitaltelet malei v'reikan. Sfina cannot be carried full and empty. I know your strange looks. The Gemara will come back to it in a second. Now, Tosafot does point out, first of all, over here, that this din only applies to Tumah that does not involve Tumat Midras. Tumat Midras is items that are utilized by people to sit on and to lay on. Boats are used to sit on and to lay on. So why don't they have Tumat Midras? And then Sak would not be relevant whatsoever in the comparison to Sak. Tosafot says the primary usage of boats is to move merchandise. And so even if someone is sitting on a boat or laying on a boat, we say to them, Amod v'naseh malachteinu. Get up and let us do what we're supposed to do, which is carry the merchandise. So even though people do sit and lay on it, that is a secondary or tertiary usage. The primary use of the boat is to move merchandise. And therefore it's compared to a sack. Right, so there's ferries and things like that. Then you might have a different view of this if you had boats that simply took people and did not take merchandise. So now the Gemara says, Ma benayu. What's the difference between these two explanations of the boat being tahor? The boat can be tahor because it's like the ocean, And the book give you Torah because it's like a sack, and it cannot be carried full and empty. So the difference is what your strange looks were. Igubanayu, number one is Svina Shilcheres. If you have a boat that's made out of clay, made out of earthenware, pottery. Mando Maroni Abalev Yam, Hanami Balev Yami. If you're talking about comparison or being in the ocean, this is an ocean-going vessel. It'll be compared to the ocean, it'll be Tahor. Lamandamar Kisak, if you're talking about a sock, Hanach Tiktive Gavi Sak. That's only materials that are written by sock. Do we say have the same Tumah? Kli Cheres has its own din of Tumah. It's not compared to a sock. And therefore, it doesn't have that qualification of being carried Malay Vereikan. Ti Mataltet Malay Rekanin Ilolo. So therefore, by the case where it's compared to a sock, materials that are compared to sock, you have that qualification of being carried full and empty. But if not, if it's not compared to sock like Kli Cheres, that wouldn't matter, and the boat would be Tameh, or be able to meet Kabel Tumah. Svina Shilcheres, Afagav Deina Metatel Malay Vereikan, even if it's not carried empty and full, you would still have Tameh. Inami, Svinat HaYardain. The other one is, the Svinat HaYardain, the Yardain is a small river, and would have a small boat on it. Lamandamar Oni Abalev Yam, He Hanami Oni Abalev Yami. So any water body that would qualify to be like the ocean, that same as a river. So Zod's over there, the boat on the river has the same din, and it's Tahor. Lamandamar Mitatelet Malay Vereikam, Hanami Mitatelet Malay Vereikam. Fred, so this answers your question. You have small boats that can be carried, full and empty. So there is such a concept. So according to that reasoning, it would be Tameh. It would be Mikabel Tumah. So therefore, the difference in why you think a boat is Tahor is important here. If you think the boat is Tahor because it's a sea-going boat, then anything that's on the water is Tahor, no matter what its size and what material it's made out of. It's irrespective of those two items. On the other hand, if you believe the reason the boat is Tahor is because compared to sock, and sock has a requirement that it can be carried full and empty, that you're going to have exceptions to that. The exception will be a boat that could be carried full and empty. The other exception to that will be items that are not compared to a sack, materials that are not compared to a sack, like a kli cheres. And therefore, that will be the nafkamina why you think the boat is tahor. We'll have a nafkamina about which boats are tahorim. Damar Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, bipnei ma amru svinata yardain tmeya. Why do they say that the svinata yardain, these small boats, are tmeya? Bipnei shitonim otabi yabasha. Because they bring it up into the dry dock, and then they carry it, put it back into the water. That means that it can be carried off and on, in and out of the water. Two things here. One is that it might not always be in the water, so that could be the contribution of Tumah, or that it's metaltal malei ve'reikan. It can be carried both empty and full. A Tosfot does note here, I mean, we'll get to it in tomorrow's sugya, that the fact that the boat floats along the water is not called being carried. When we would describe today, we'd say a boat is getting carried along the waves, along the water. We don't call that mitaltel. Amri Yehuda Marav, Nolam al yimna adam et atzmo v'beit ha-mishrash filu sha'achat. Shouldn't be out of the Beit Midrash even one moment. Shrei kama shanim nishnat mishnah zu v'beit midrash. Many years we knew about this mishnah in the Beit Midrash, but only t'galah tamah. We didn't know the reason behind it. Ashabad Rabbi Chanina ben Agavio Persha. So Rabbi Chanina ben Agavio came and explained to us the reasoning behind why the Sfirat HaYardain is Tmeyah. Yeah, if you missed that day, you wouldn't have heard it. So every day is a precious moment in the Beit Midrash. Amar Rabbi Yonatan, the Olam Alimna Adamet Atzmo Beit Midrash. Person should never miss a day in the Beit Midrash, day of learning, or Midivrei Torah. Vafilu B'Shat Mita, even on his deathbed. Shinemar, Zot HaTorah, Adam Ki Yamut Be'Oel. This is the introductory pasuk to the Parsha Parah Aduma of Chukat. And it says over there, Zot HaTorah. Now really, literally there, the Torah means the procedure for, not Torah in the sense of learning Torah, means the procedure for being mitaher oneself from Tumata Meit. But nevertheless, the Gemara plays on that. It says, Zot HaTorah. This is the Torah, Adam Ki Yamut Be'Oel. Even when he's on his deathbed, he's got to be asuk b'Torah. Afilo b'shat mita teyosek b'Torah. Amar Reish Lakish. Very famous drasha. Ein divrei Torah mikamim elo bimim shemimit atzmo ala. Torah is only mitkayim, only stays with those that kill themselves over it. Shenemar, zot haTorah, adam ki yamut be'ohel. So the play on the words here is it should really say zot Torat. If you look out throughout Sefer VaYikra, which would be zot Torat, adam ki yamut be'ohel, zot Torat azav. It should be something that's written as the nismach. Instead, it writes it first of all, Zot HaTorah, as if this is the whole Torah. Why is this the whole Torah? What does it teach about the whole Torah? Adam ki amut ba. It's teaching a one who kills themselves over Torah, that's Zot HaTorah. That's Torah. That's the way that Torah is preserved. That's the way that one who has a kinyan in Torah is because he was Yamut Bohel. He died. Ohel here, a play on the Ohel being the Beit Midrash. So Adam ki Amut Bohel is one who kills himself in the Beit Midrash. Or the previous drasha was, even when a person is dying, they shouldn't hold themselves back from Torah and the Beit Midrash. Okay, we'll stop over here.